It's Friday, the 11th of October, and this is the Monocle Minute. Today,
they didn't help us in the Second World War. They didn't help us with Normandy, as an example. In addition to that, we have spent tremendous amounts of money on helping the Kurds in terms of ammunition, in terms of weapons, in terms of money, in terms of pay. With all of that being said, we like the Kurds.
The U.S. president dismisses the concerns of a growing list of critics as Turkish troops continue their assault in Syria. We'll have analysis from Washington. Plus, a report from IKEA unpacks some key insights into the modern home. Why MasterChef is a masterclass in selling a TV format. And our senior editor, Robert Bound, takes his tuning fork to Iceland to examine how a clever new investment scheme could make the picturesque country a favourite of the recording industry. I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. The sounds of explosions over the border between Turkey and Syria as civilians flee for safety. Intense fighting was continuing yesterday evening as aid agencies warned of a worsening humanitarian crisis. Bilal Wahab is Wagner Fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Bilal, do you think we're witnessing the beginning of a war for Syria post-US withdrawal?
It perhaps is the beginning. That's a very clever question. It depends on how deep this Turkish incursion into Syria is going to be. And it will also depend on how much the US President, President Donald Trump, withstands the pressure and the backlash against him from his own government and his own Congress to make him finally decide that he's going to protect the SDF, the Syrian Democratic Forces, in order to end this conflict. But much of the damage has already been done. U.S. credibility as an ally, as a reliable partner, I think, is in question. The Kurds for sure question that. This is the second time that it happened. The first time was December 2018, but the decision was reversed. But this time the war has already started, and perhaps that credibility is already lost. But in addition to that, the winner here is Russia, which presents itself as the ultimate broker, particularly between the Kurds and the Syrian regime.
Well, one factor that's been linking Russia with Iran and Turkey in the region has been their mutual distaste for American interests. Do you think this U.S. withdrawal is likely to further unite those countries?
Enemy of the enemy is a friend. It doesn't need to unite them, but at least it finds a common ground for all of them. I think if we could add Iran to the mix, they all would like a reduced U.S. presence in the area. Iran is also pushing its Iraqi proxies to kick the U.S. forces out of Iraq. So all of them would like to see the U.S. out, or at least its credibility diminished. Whether that is going to result in a better outcome is very questionable, because while the Russian government would love a stronger position for the Bashar Assad regime, that doesn't necessarily mean peace or stability in Syria, because the U.S. presence so far has been maintaining a level of stability in at least a third of the country under the SDF control by deterring Turkey from attacking that area and by protecting the Kurds while at it. But the dividend of this stability, if not peace, has been keeping ISIS in check and putting the pressure on them so they don't have a resurgence, keeping those detainees, in which you have 60,000 of their families in Al-Hul camp and 11,000 actual ISIS fighters who are in prison, making sure that they don't escape. Releasing them was the main ask and request by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi in his last statement. He called on his supporters to free those ISIS detainees. Obviously, that will contribute tremendously to the resurgence of ISIS. In fact, if you go down a memory line, that's how it started.
Bilal Wahab in Washington, we do appreciate your insights. Thank you. Grab your paper measuring tape. We're heading out for a spot of shopping now at IKEA, where a new report is unpacking some key concerns in the modern home.
Not content with redefining retail with its fabled flat pack furniture in walkthrough warehouses, Swedish homeware giant IKEA has this week published a report on its customers' changing attitudes to the home more generally. The poll, involving 33,500 people in 35 countries, strongly suggests that privacy is more important than ever, so say 85% of respondents. But that a large number feel that their yearning for a little alone time isn't currently met, much to their anxiety and chagrin. As homes get smaller, density peaks, and co-living projects abound, the report sheds a little light on the human toll of diminishing domestic life. Maybe we do need to learn to share space better in the cities of the future. But as the report reminds us, we need to be building places that feel like home as well as look the part.
When it comes to winning television formulas, few recent ideas match the international success of MasterChef. While the classic old game show formats of shows like Wheel of Fortune or The Price is Right have been spinning for almost as long as television itself, MasterChef is a relative newcomer. But as with most TV success stories, subtle reinvention is key to a long life.
Neighbor. Everybody needs good neighbours.
If you thought Neighbours and Home and Away were Australia's leading television exports, well, you'd best think again.
One will become
very, 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 very good.
Just think, every time I come back, it just gets better and better.
Delicious.
Brilliant.
We couldn't cook that any better.
Australia's next MasterChef.
MasterChef Australia, the cooking show that pits budding chefs against one another in a sort of culinary X Factor, has become a global sensation over the past decade, and with good reason. The glamorous Aussie format, with its regular eliminations and sensationalised countdowns, makes for much more compelling viewing than the rather earnest UK MasterChef original from which it was adapted. It's spawned countless iterations, selling the recipe to countries from the United States to Denmark and even Turkey. Meanwhile, the flagship MasterChef Australia product continues to be an international hit. It's one of India's most watched English language shows, and it has feverish fan bases across Europe and Asia. The pressure on new television concepts to become instant hits is often immense. But despite TV's habit of reinventing itself almost obsessively, the game show format is a peculiar anomaly.
On the greatest wheel around, Wheel of Fortune!
Series such as Jeopardy and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire have barely strayed from their earliest incarnations. But like any tried and tested classic, subtle evolution is inevitable, and in Australia's case, perhaps overdue. News that the show's original judges are being replaced in 2020 by a younger, glossier, and more diverse trio arrived this week like a much-anticipated dessert.
Complexity. I mean, that's the sort of dish that everybody would love.
The flavour of that is brilliant.
Chefs Jock Zonfrillo and Andy Allen will join food writer Melissa Leung in next year's season. Messing with a classic is often like playing with fire, and in this case, was prompted at least in part by a scandal-prone, now former, judge. But when a TV favourite is at risk of losing its freshness, it's best to rejig the recipe early, rather than risk letting it overbake.
Australia's next MasterChef.
This is where dreams are made.
And finally today, Monocle's Robert Bound explains why Iceland might yet be top of his shortlist of countries in which he might record his debut album.
Time to make like Björk and don the swan dress, tie your hair in bunches, and really roll your R's. If you're a musician on a mission and with an eye on the bottom line, you might find yourself hopping aboard a bird to Reykjavik to record your next album. Iceland Music, the country's musical export body, are set to launch Record in Iceland, an initiative which offers a 25% rebate across studio hire, travel and hotels, and the all-important time of a studio engineer to all overseas musicians who record on the island of Iceland. Of course, as a reference, we went straight to Iceland's brightest star, Miss Gudmundsdóttir, but the island has a considerable musical backbone. Better yet, that it errs on the side of the subtle, beautiful and strange. Sigur Rós, Ólafur Arnalds, Gus Gus, Emiliana Torini. Iceland's studios are also drop-dead gorgeous. Reykjavik's Greenhouse Studio lives up to its name, while frankly, who knows if Sýrland and Hjörleifsdóttir do. We do know, however, that they are favoured sonic hangouts for the musical Cognoscenti from Blur to Kanye West. Bowie in Berlin and the Stones on the Côte d'Azur show that crossing borders has always gone hand in hand with focus, expression and just enough madness. Musicians of all stripes have noted that it's easy to concentrate in Iceland. Boring? No way. Oh, so quiet? You got it. For Monocle, I'm Robert Bound.
My thanks to Robert Bound, and indeed Björk, and the country of Iceland too. That's all in today's program. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute returns on Monday. Enjoy your weekend.